In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The assault bequeathed by evolutionary theory upon the historical narrative of creation is unrelenting. Therefore, it is utterly imperative that Christians equip themselves for the battle. With the intention to provide answers, Living Word Church is pleased to invite you to the upcoming visit by Jay Siegert. Jay is the author of Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. He's also a Christian, scientist, and founder of the Creation Education Center. Take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to counteract the destructive effects of the theory of evolution in the minds and hearts of your children and grandchildren by visiting us on February 15th, as they will hear the scientific truth they won't otherwise encounter in schools. Remember, Jay Siegert at Living Word Church on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. Two meetings, two topics, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the morning. For more information, contact us by calling 305-461-9929. 305-461-9929. See you then.
Escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new edition, a new episode of the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast powered by LWIM Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. We intend this to be a program that provides liberty-inducing veracity through the commentary, which is given to us directly by the scriptures, by Jesus Christ himself. I am your humble host, Gio, the youth pastor of said ministry. We're so glad that you're able to join us. Unfortunately, on this edition, Sarai, my wife and co-host, will not be able to join me, but the show must go on, as they used to say in vaudeville. The show must go on, and therefore we are continuing our endeavor to provide truth in this world full of uncertainty. On yesterday's program, we were alluding a bit to the Super Bowl and, among other things, some of the erred notions and ideas that are propagated by the militants among us, namely the Islamists and militant homosexual groups and atheistic groups and other things that are very, very, I think, important topics that we touched. And I invite all of you to visit our website, lwim.org, so that you may download that audio file for free if you have not heard it yet. Please do so by visiting our website, lwym.org. I was having an interesting conversation today with a person who's much older than I. And it's curious because there are so many things that can be divulged in human interaction and other ways of seeing things that God implants in the heart that one cannot confuse it with mere chance. One has to come to the conclusion that it was the Lord Almighty placing a seed, his truth, in that conversation, in that midst. I mean, the Bible tells us very clearly that wherever two people are gathered in his name, he is present. And I am more than assured, more than confident in God himself that in those meetings, if people strictly adhere to the scriptural text, that he will showcase to them maybe a different way of seeing something that is in the scripture, immutable, of course, but providing other examples in order to clarify certain things found in the Bible. And I think this conversation was exactly that. I've mentioned before, and I've alluded to the fact that we have Solomon, a father who was obviously concerned for the weal of his son and wrote Proverbs and other particular writings in order to advise his offspring on what to do for self-preservation and understanding life. And the main thing that he advocated was, number one, follow the Lord your God faithfully. And number two, search for wisdom. Search for wisdom before you fall into folly and it laughs at you from the street corners. And it's curious because in Proverbs you find that Solomon writes in as if he were wisdom himself. He writes from the personage of wisdom and calls out to all fools to acquire from himself the necessary tools in order to live life in a responsible, disciplined, and honorable, moral way, according to God's statutes and the ethical code that he has left with us through the example, of course, of Jesus Christ. And during this conversation in which I engaged with this particular lady, we were speaking about the ever-growing gap that there exists between adults and the youth. And I think it's more prevalent in our day and age, where we find that the youth are in one corner and the adults are in another corner, and they do not want to meet in the middle for any sort of interaction whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it's repugnant to them. The adults believe that the youth are a stumbling block, they are a nuisance, and you find more or less similar sentiments in the youth when they state of those that are older, adults are there to impede progress. They're not allowing me to enjoy life. And they are the killjoys among us. And there is nothing that I can learn from these people. They lived in a previous generation. And therefore, I cannot learn anything from said persons. And I am here to declare, without a shadow of a doubt, that that particular ideology on both ends couldn't be more erroneous. Adults and youth likewise. I allude once again to the Proverbs because we see adult interaction with the youth. And I think this is sorely needed in our day and age. And this is a rebuke of the adults in our society, which have chosen to isolate themselves from their offspring and from those of the future generation. Why? Well, to me, it is a deleterious affair, of course. But also, I would dare say contradictory, because I mostly hear adults complaining about how it is that this younger generation undertakes things which are unfathomable to them, that in their day and age, such things would not have happened. Well, guess what? Many of these adults did undertake those very same actions when they were younger. They just don't want to admit it. Sin is sin, and it's been around for quite a long time. And most persons engage in it in one way, shape, or form. Maybe the methodologies change, but sin is sin, no matter what. And the reason that I say that adults complaining about the youth is contradictory is because they're not even making an effort to try to reach out to the very youth that they are complaining about. They're not making an effort to try to teach them that there is a better way of living, especially having reached a certain age where you would believe, you would think that they have acquired some wisdom, some knowledge, and would want to impart that on a subsequent generation for their well-being. And they don't do so. They try to isolate themselves. This is happening in our entirety of our society. I think my father noticed something so curious in our society. All one must do is look to your surroundings to see evidences of what it is that we are speaking about today. And I have to credit my father with noticing this. Notice that most older persons are looking to live in isolated communities, and they want to live within a group of persons that more or less are like-minded and are removed from any of the younger generation. And likewise, you'll find that the young amongst us will also do everything they can to remove themselves from any influence from the adults, whether it be their own parents even. How do they do this? Well, they isolate themselves in their rooms. They lock the door shut. They dig their noses, as I like to say, in electronics and place their earbuds as a form of isolationism from the outside world. They want no contact with their progenitors because they have been led to believe that somehow these persons are a nuisance to their existence. They are a hindrance. So this is also a rebuke to you young people that are listening. Don't think that you are going to go unchastised. And I see it as much more widespread in our day and age. And I ask myself why. Of course, this is satanic in and of itself. And I don't want to hear. And don't write to me, please. Oh, satanic. Look at the old verbiage this antiquated fool is using. Well, you'll have a very difficult time explaining evil then, won't you? Please explain the origins of evil for me, if you can, when you remove Satan from the picture, because I certainly can't, and neither can any human being, even the smartest among us. I would ask a person like Stephen Hawking, please explain evil. Well, I guess he couldn't because he's a materialist, as are many other evolutionists among us, but hey, who am I? I'm just a mere pontificator, right? Anyways, back to our salient point here. Why is it that both groups are looking to live removed, isolated from one another? It makes no sense. You have wisdom on one end needing to replenish that well in the youth, and they can propagate that to the younger generation. And on the other corner, you have the exuberance, the energy of youth, which can carry this on to others, and they are not meeting in the middle. They're not even taking the first steps to attempt to reconcile in any way, shape, or form. This is what is happening. So there is an underestimation on both ends from both parties against each other when there is no reason. There's no rhyme or reason why they shouldn't meet in the middle. I was commenting to this lady, which we were undertaking this particular conversation, that looking back on it now, reflecting on my youth, I am so glad that my parents associated with the people whom they associated with, and most of them were, of course, adults, being that they are pastors and they're needing to minister to the flock. And I was constantly surrounded by adults. And let me tell you, this helped in my process of maturity. It absolutely did. Because I was constantly surrounded by older folk who would always give me advice. Now, that I must clarify, there was quite a few pieces of advice that were not wise, that were not based on wisdom. And my parents, when we arrived home from maybe eating at a person's house or having spoken to a particular individual after some time, they would say, son, please discard that. That is not... that's not proper. Just discard that. But there was one thing that they told me, and it always has stuck with me. And it is this: respect and be attentive to every word that emanates from persons who carry on their heads gray hairs, because there's a lot you can learn simply from listening to their life stories. And let me tell you something, I've quoted this before. When you read Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, you see that Solomon is lamenting the fact that what has been in the past will repeat again in the future, because people do not care to learn what has happened in the past in order to acquire lessons so that they will not commit the same mistakes from their ancestors, that their ancestors undertook. There's no remembrance of the past, Solomon laments in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And yet it is the parents' responsibility to teach their children, son, look into the past and appreciate what it took to arrive here at this point today. Have a greater appreciation and be thankful for the forerunners that allowed all of this to happen? I mean, haven't you ever thought, for example, about the cell phone? What a marvelous invention this is. First and foremost, we find that Alexander Graham Bell facilitates communication from long distance over a speakerphone. And then slowly but surely, we did not have to be connected. Our handset did not have to be connected to a wire on the wall in order to speak to another person in another domicile. Now we could disconnect those very phones that were battery powered and speak on the go. And now these things have evolved, if you would want to use that term for lack of a better term. They have evolved, and not in the evolutionary sense, of course. I mean in the design. I guess I'm using the wrong terminology here. They have been designed, and in their overall design, it has been improved. I must clarify, I am not a believer in deistic evolution. Neither am I a believer in evolutionary processes, period. These are mere fallacies. I believe in a literal six-day creation of the heavens and the earth. Anyways, putting that aside, consider the cell phone. You are carrying in your pocket, or maybe you have sitting on your desk before you now, or somewhere around your room or your habitation, a microcomputer. It is no longer uniquely an electronic device that allows you to speak to a person in a distant location wirelessly. Now you are carrying a portable computer in the palm of your hand. I mean, it's wonderful. But think about the countless hours, sweat, tears of frustration due to research not being able to arrive at the proper mechanisms or code in order to achieve that. And eventually, certain persons, they stuck with it. They were persistent and they said, we have to provide this. This is great technology. I mean, think about that. Just a cell phone. When you look at the vehicle, what a great invention. Before, we used to have to depend on the horse and buggy. And now, a motorized carriage with four wheels allows us to travel from one place to another in a very expeditious manner, or rather expedited manner. Isn't that wonderful? But we take these things for granted. We say, they're here with us, it's technology, it's wonderful, I'm going to indulge in it. But someone had to have enough wisdom, enough knowledge to say, maybe we can perfect the wheel some more. I mean, the wheel is the wheel, but it can be perfected. And now we have all of these modern conveniences. And someone had to sacrifice in order to provide us with these conveniences. Why not allude to those people? Now, it is important to state, as I have stated before, it does not mean that certain persons, because they have given us such an advantage, that they are wise. Because I could allude to, for example, Steve Jobs, who, even though he is the progenitor of Apple, if you look at his history, it is replete, rife with actions that would make the best persons among us, if you will, squeamish. Very immoral in many things in his life. But there are others that provided, it never necessarily provided any technological advances to society. But for example, they provided the sacrifice of much of their lives in defense of their country. They dedicated themselves to the public in public service. And I'm not speaking about politicians here. I'm talking about other persons who, for example, run non-for-profit organizations. And even other individuals that have not become famous, that their story has not been widespread, it's not very ubiquitous in our day and age, their stories, personal, resonate with us because they had to struggle. But they made something of themselves and therefore left a legacy of hard work, of ethical comportment to their children. And yet, these very things are forsaken by this younger generation simply because they're granted. It doesn't mean that if we have something or we're enjoying a modern convenience, that it didn't take sacrifice. It cost something to get to us. And instead of being thankful, we find that the younger generation, they are, if anything, demanding these things because they feel entitled. And then on the other hand, you have adults who are seeing this mentality, pervasive as it is in our day and age, and instead of rectifying it in their youngsters, they do all the opposite. They continue to provide them with more and more material things, thinking this is going to make them happy. Forget the warmth that they need from their parents. Forget the discipline and admonition that they are needing. No, we're constantly purchasing all of these devices and gear, what have you, in order to satisfy our youngsters, our young people's capricious desires, because they have to have it. Not because it's utterly important to them or useful to them, but since everyone else has it, of course, we know that peer pressure works in that manner. Since everyone else has it and I need to be into the in crowd, they are demanding these things and feel entitled. There's a disconnect. There is a huge disconnect, and this needs to be rectified. How do we do this? Well, advice to youngsters first. Do not underestimate. Do not come to contempt those that are older than you. Go to them. Search for advice. Do not follow the day's mantra, the secularist mantra, which teaches that there is nothing to be learned from your parents and from those whom are older than you. There's more than you can learn. As a matter of fact, I would dare say that everything that you have been taught by these people who are teaching you that older folk should be discarded, they are the ones that you need to stop paying attention to. Because if anything, what good has it done you? What good has that particular advice done for you? Nothing. All they are doing is providing advice that in truth leads to hell. That's all it is. And then on the other end, to those of you that listen to this program that are older, reach out to the younger folk. Believe it or not, there are still many of us out here whom need to hear from you. We need to be told. We need to be informed that we are wrong about certain things and that there are certain things that need to be rectified. I'll make my case in point in this manner. We find that the Apostle Paul, he takes young Timothy, the preacher, under his wing as a father does his young son. And one of the things that he advises him in his letters is, even though you are a pastor of a congregation, respect those that are older than you. And if they are wrong in certain things, correct them, but with respect, because they are older than you are. Notice that he was establishing a social order, and not only a social order, but also establishing or rather reaffirming the bounds, the preservation of the structure that God left for us, of a healthy society, parents over their children, children respecting their parents, etc., etc., etc. We find this in the scripture. And trust me, a lot of you that are older here, the youth need to hear from you. And do it, of course, in a respectful manner, because this is the other side of it also. Many of the older generation, all they do is even before, before the youth, they will speak upon how lost this generation is and there is no remedy. Generation X, think about this. This even stuck to a particular age group, that title. Stuck to a particular age group. It's Generation X and then the Millennials, which I happen to be a part of. I was the last to enter that group, or rather, the first to enter that group of the Millennials. So many people think that I'm Generation X, but I'm not. I'm a Millennial because of the voting age, when I reached my voting age. So many of us need to hear from you guys. And don't do it with look, don't do it in a way where you can be cantankerous. Because yes, many of these young people are in an age where they believe they know it all, but they need to be showcased that they are not know-it-alls, that there's plenty to learn. And let me tell you something that I have learned along the way is the more that I do undertake acquiring knowledge, the more humbling it is. Because the more you learn, there is this effect that happens where you come to the realization that you really don't know a lot. And it humbles you further and makes you realize how much of a fool you were in your youth when you now that you come to understand that then you believed that you were all knowledgeable and that particular knowledge reached to the heavens and back three times over and that you were absolutely wrong. It's further humbling in this manner. So there needs to, that gap needs to be closed if we want to see any improvement in our social structures, where we have the adults, those that are supposed to carry wisdom and knowledge, imparting that to the younger generation, and the younger generation also bringing about their youthful exuberance and energy to providing said things to another generation and keeping that social status, that social structure that God created intact. That's all the time we have left for this edition of the podcast. I'd like to remind you that in a few days, Jay Siegert, scientist, a Christian and a scientist, will join us at Living Word Church to speak upon the differences of evolutionism, evolution, and creation, the biblical narrative of creation. Are they complementary or are they in conflict? And he will join us on February 15th, that's a Sunday, on both 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the morning, two separate topics during both of those meetings. We are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. For more information, please call us at 305-461-9929, 461-9929, area code 305. Entrance is free. I'd also like to remind you through these means that we meet every single Wednesday night for our youth meetings, exclusively youth meetings, at the same locale, 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. We meet at 8 p.m. every single Wednesday night, where we attempt to impart biblical truth, absolute truth, in a world full of uncertainty. And lastly, I would also like to invite our listeners to write your questions or comments. I'd like to direct myself to those particular inquiries and attempt to answer those in the most biblical way and truthful way possible. Please write those emails, inquiries, questions, comments, whatever have you. Write them to me at writing me an email, geo@lwym.org, geo@lwym.org. Now that's geo, J-I-O, not G-E-O or J-E-O. I don't know how many different spellings there are for Giovanni out there, but in my experience, many people tend to spell it in, I would dare say, millions of different ways. Well, that's enough pontificating on the spelling of my name. This has been Gio, the youth pastor for LWIM. We will meet again tomorrow for more dissemination of truth in a world full of uncertainty. On to the next edition that we meet, good ladies, good gents, Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWIM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The assault bequeathed by evolutionary theory upon the historical narrative of creation is unrelenting. Therefore, it is utterly imperative that Christians equip themselves for the battle. With the intention to provide answers, Living Word Church is pleased to invite you to the upcoming visit by Jay Siegert. Jay is the author of Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. He's also a Christian, scientist, and founder of the Creation Education Center. Take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to counteract the destructive effects of the theory of evolution in the minds and hearts of your children and grandchildren by visiting us on February 15th, as they will hear the scientific truth they won't otherwise encounter in schools. Remember, Jay Siegert at Living Word Church on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. Two meetings, two topics, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the morning. For more information, contact us by calling 305-461-9929, 305-461-9929. See you then.